1 Peter chapter 1 this evening. We're going to read two very familiar verses. We're going to talk about a very familiar subject. But I hope that tonight's message will either encourage you in things you already know, or maybe open our eyes to a little bit more than what we realize or recognize. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Wednesday night service, the time of prayer we've had tonight, the time of praise and singing praise and honor to your name, the time of giving. And Lord, now it's time that we sit back and get fed from your word. I pray, God, that you would use me, Father, simply as a vessel to communicate your word to your people. And Lord, that we might be blessed and fed through the word of God tonight. Lord, as we consider the subject before us, may we be in awe. God, may we be excited. And may we be thankful for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking at verse number 19 where the Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ. It's only been a couple of months since we went through 1 and 2 Peter. And if you'll recall, I thought something was quite amazing, at least it was to me. And that is that this rugged old commercial fisherman uses the word precious 7 times in his 2 epistles, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And maybe it's just me, but I have a hard time picturing a guy like that using the word precious. Maybe because I've heard older ladies all say, isn't that precious? And I have a hard time imagining Peter saying that, using that word. But he did. He used it 7 times in these 2 epistles. Look back at 1 Peter. We're not going to look at all 7 times, but just a couple of things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We're here in 1 Peter. Look at chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7, Peter said this, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. All right, I like that. Christ is precious, according to Simon Peter. Simon Peter writing words that were inspired by God, so that's the Lord's evaluation and Peter's. Christ is precious. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I like that one. We have like precious faith. We have obtained. God has given us faith. And not only faith, but precious faith, because it's saving faith. It's sustaining, living faith. So Peter calls Christ precious. He calls our faith precious. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look down at verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I've preached a message before, I'm sure, on the precious promises. Not just promises, but precious promises. We could go through and list some of those promises in the Bible that are just above and beyond. They are precious. So Peter liked to use that word, but he didn't use it offhandedly. He used it in the matter of things that were without doubt precious. And here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, he tells us about the precious blood of Christ. What is it that makes the blood of Christ precious? Jesus was made just like you and I are. He was made in the likeness of man. His body was resembled the same body we have. He had the same internal organs. He had blood, just like we have blood. What makes His blood so precious that Peter would say, precious blood? Well, look back at Acts chapter 20. This is not the message tonight, but let's look at why or what it is about that blood that made it so precious. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, and this is a good verse to remember. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul is addressing the leadership at the church at Ephesus. He's gathered the pastors, the elders together. And he says to them in verse 28 of Acts 20, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He, God, hath purchased with His, God, own blood." That verse tells us that the blood that flowed through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ was not the blood that He got from an earthly father, because He had no earthly father. But the blood that flowed through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross was different. It was precious because it was God's blood. That blood that was shed that day on Calvary was not just any blood. It was precious blood because it was God's blood. Now, we can't completely understand that. We can't wrap our heads around that, as they say in these days. We just accept that the blood that flowed through the system of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that He was born with, conceived with, and born with, that blood was God's blood running through His veins. That made it precious blood. So why is the blood of Christ precious? Why did Peter say, "By the precious blood of Christ"? I want to give you six reasons why the blood of Christ is precious. Now, what it is, it was the blood of God. Why it's precious? Number one, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. The book of Colossians, back a few pages, Colossians chapter 1, and verse number 20. Why is the blood of Christ precious? Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross." Number one, why the blood of Christ is precious? Because it made peace for sinners. It made peace for sinners. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27 that without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:27, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Our sins could not be cleansed. They could not be washed away. They could not be remitted. We could not be reconciled, verse number 20, without the blood of Christ. It made peace for sinners. You understand that when we look out in this world today, that every unbelieving person is an enemy of God. Every unbeliever is an enemy of God. Now, they might be undercover. They might be cleaning up the outside and be religious on the outside, like Lydia, who we looked at Sunday morning from the book of Acts. But the Bible declares that everybody, before they put their faith and trust in Christ, is an enemy of God. Look at verse number 21 here in Colossians chapter 1. "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Before we are saved, we are enemies in our minds against God. The world, and even religion, and sometimes even Christianity, wants to paint over the picture with a brush that doesn't include the blood of Christ. And when they do that, they are not making an enemy a friend of God. They're taking an enemy of God and concealing him and trying to cover it up and make it look like it's okay, when it's not okay, because the problem is not on the outside, the problem's on the inside. Wicked works, it said in verse number 20, "enemies in your mind by wicked works." The mind is at enmity against God before it is washed in the blood of the Lamb. So why is the blood of Christ precious? Because it makes peace for sinners. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you would. Aren't you glad tonight, if you're saved, you have peace with God? Isn't that a good thing to have? I remember hearing a sermon by E.V. Hill, the late E.V. Hill. And he said this, he was talking, I think he was preaching on the subject of peace with God. And he said, I have peace with my wife. It's good to have peace with your wife. And he emphasized it in this way, it's good to be at peace with the woman that makes your food. And I don't know if he knew that from experience or what happened there, but to have peace with God is better than having peace with anybody else. The world emphasizes peace, 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 when there is no peace. God says, the world is at enmity. We are enemies of God in our minds by wicked works. And the only thing that could give us peace with God is the precious blood of Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that peace that's there. We have it because of the precious blood of Christ, and we have peace with God. Can I tell you something that ought to cheer you up? God is not angry with you. God is your Father. God is your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God is not angry. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. I believe that's Psalm 10:4. But He's not angry with His children. Sometimes He's displeased with us. Sometimes He has to chasten us. But we're not His enemies anymore. And the only reason we're not His enemies is not because of anything we've done or we deserve, but because of the precious blood of Christ. See how important that is? How sad it is in our day that religion, Christianity, quote unquote, is overlooking the blood of Christ. We've talked about it before. They've removed it from the songbooks. The modern Bible versions in English have removed it from their translations. And yet the Bible emphasizes all throughout Scripture that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so we have peace with God because of the precious blood of Christ. But not only peace with God, look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Notice what it says here. And the peace of God. We talked about peace with God. Here it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because of the precious blood of Christ, not only do we have peace with God, we've got the peace of God. Peace with God means that we don't have to worry about Him being angry with us or mad at us. We're not His enemy any longer. The peace of God means in our dealings with the rest of life, we don't have to worry. It says in verse number 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. How is it a child of God can get through something that they get through and still have peace? Because of the precious blood of Christ. Why is it that when an ordinary person would throw the towel in or give in to despair, that the child of God, even though things are not easy, does not throw in the towel or give up all hope? Because of the peace of God. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God. And the only thing that can give us both of those is the precious blood of Christ. Oh, thank God for that blood. God's blood that was shed that made peace for sinners. Number two, look at Ephesians chapter 2 if you would. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Number one, the blood of Christ is precious because it made peace for sinners. Number two, the blood of Christ is precious because it brings people together into a new fellowship. It brings people together into a new fellowship. We just saw that it makes peace for sinners. Now we have a relationship with God. Before that, we did not have that relationship. And those that are religious today, that are approaching God without the blood, are not in fellowship with Him. They can talk about Him, but they have to talk about Him as if a God that's afar off. Because the only thing that can bring us nigh to God is that precious blood. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul says to the church at Ephesus that at that time ye were without Christ. This church at Ephesus, these Gentile believers, this Jewish writer is telling them that before they met Him, you were without Christ. Notice he says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You realize both of those things in the Old Testament were specifically for the nation of Israel. God was a God of the Jews. But the death of Christ on the cross opened up the door for Gentiles. And now the Bible says, no longer are we aliens and strangers, it said in verse number 12, and that they had no hope. Notice it says at the beginning of the verse, without Christ, and at the end of the verse, without God. What a hopeless situation. How are we going to reconcile that? The word reconcile means to bring two things into agreement. And again, Colossians 1:20 said He has reconciled us through that blood that He shed. He says, the strangers, aliens, no hope, without Christ, without God in this world. That's a description of every unsaved person right now. No matter how good a person they try to be. The description of them is without Christ, without God, strangers, aliens, no hope. What can fix that? Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ that brings us together into a new fellowship. We were aliens, strangers, without hope, without Christ, and without God. But the blood of Christ is what has brought us into fellowship with Him. And now we can have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we can have a relationship one with another. Again, Paul is writing as a Jewish man to this, a Jewish man that was on the inner circle of the Old Testament, of the covenants and the commandments, the traditions and the laws given to Israel, where the Gentiles were strictly outsiders. But now the blood of Christ has brought not only fellowship with God, but fellowship with one another. Look at Galatians chapter 3, if you would. Right before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. You know this truth. Talking about this new fellowship that we have. I like Galatians 3, verse 25. It tells us we have a new freedom. We're not under a schoolmaster. Verse 26 tells us we have a new family. We're all the children of God. Verse 27 tells us we have a new factor. We have been baptized into Christ. And then 28, a new fellowship. And that's what we're looking at now. Verse 29, by the way, says we have a new future. But verse 28 of Galatians 3 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. See the fellowship that has brought us together? He said, you're neither Jew nor Greek. Now to the Jew, was there a difference? Was one better than the other? Was one higher than the other? Yes. To the Jew was higher than the Gentile. Paul, writing to them in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, lists all those terrible sins that we know so well that we recognize at the end of Romans chapter 1. All those ungodly deeds, those were the works of the Gentiles. In chapter 2, when he wanted to point out in Romans the sin of the Hebrews, that sin, he didn't give that list from chapter 1. Those were the heathen. Those were the Gentiles. Chapter 2 was self-righteousness. thinking they were better than the others because they had the law of Moses and the commandments and all those things. So the Jew looked down his nose upon the Gentile, and yet Paul said, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. He said, there's neither bond nor free. Now, in Jewish thinking back in that day, was one better than the other? Wasn't being free better than being bond? Remember when Paul was taken prisoner and he said he was Roman by birth? The other man said, the man who took him said, with a great sum of money I purchased my freedom. Paul said, I was freeborn. So they looked upon free men as much better off than servants. And yet Paul said, in Christ, we're all the same. And then he says, neither male nor female. You look at the laws regarding the synagogue in the Old Testament, under the Jewish custom, and where the men were, and where the women were, and the servitude, and the action, and all that. They regarded one as higher than the other. And Paul is writing here to say that the blood of Christ has broken down the wall of partition. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't Jews and there aren't Gentiles. There still are. There's not bond and there's not free. There still are. There's not male and female. There still are, though many are really struggling with that one. It simply means this, that because of the blood of Christ, there's no respect of persons with God. He does not favor one over the other. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in looking at the critical race theory. God does not recognize people by the color of their skin. He does not recognize them by the amount of melatonin? No, that's not it. The other M. And I'll get in trouble trying to do that scientifically. All right. He doesn't recognize people by that. He has broken down the wall of partition between all of those. And so Paul is telling us that the blood of Christ not only makes peace for sinners, but it brings people together into a fellowship, a new fellowship with God and a fellowship together. I'd love to be in that early church back in the book of Acts, where after all these centuries of isolation and separation between Jew and Gentile, you go to the first Lord's Supper. And you see Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, all sitting together in the congregation, all celebrating the Lord's Supper together. That was a monumental thing for that day. And the only thing that made it possible, you couldn't have done away with the laws and the customs and the writings and the covenants and all that. The only thing that made that possible was the precious blood of Christ. When we sing, there's power in the blood, we're usually talking about salvation, and there's nothing wrong with that. But boy, that power goes a lot farther than just salvation. It broke down this middle wall of partition. It brings people together into a new fellowship. The grace of God, someone has said it this way, the grace of God reached out into the far country and brought us into fellowship with the Father. By the blood of Christ. It brings people together into a new fellowship. Number three, look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. Again, a very familiar verse. One that we looked at not too many weeks ago, going through 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have fellowship with Him and one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why the blood of Christ is precious? Because it cleanses from sin. Notice that word cleanses. In our Bible it says cleanseth. That's a continual action. That's not a past tense word. It's a continual action. Thank God your sins were forgiven the day you trusted Christ. You got in under that shed blood. And your sins were washed away. Your sins were forgiven and everything was fine. You made peace with God. It brought you together into a new relationship with Him. But since you've been saved, your Christian life has not been sinless. You have had struggles. We have had victories and we've had failures. We've had times when we disappointed God by our actions, our attitude, whatever we might have done. And the Bible says that even then the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It is a continual cleansing agent. Thank God it washed us the day we believed in Him. But it's not finished. It's not done yet. The blood of Christ is covering us every single day. When He died on Calvary's cross, He died for our sins, past, present, and future. But the Bible tells us that we need that daily cleansing so that we can be right with Him. His blood not only made us clean, His blood keeps us clean. That's pretty good. If it wasn't for the blood that keeps us clean, we'd be in trouble. Because we'd have gotten saved and all our sins forgiven, but then within another day or a week or a month or a year or 10 years or 15 years or 25 years, all that, we'd be in as big a mess as we were before we got saved. But the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. Nothing can do that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So Peter says it's precious blood because it cleanses us from sin. Number four. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. I like this one. You say, preacher, you said that about the last one. I'll say it about every one of them. The blood of Christ, that precious blood. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 19. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Having therefore, boldness to enter into the holiest. The blood enables us. Why is it precious? Because it enables man to enter into the presence of God. The blood of Christ enables man to enter into the presence of God. What right do you have to talk to a holy, righteous God? Absolutely none. What bragging rights can you have that you stand before God and say to God, God, I deserve to be here. I've told you this before. One of the first fellows I ever witnessed to, way back in 1975, as soon as I got saved, wasn't even an intentional witness. I wasn't smart enough to be a witness. I was just telling another fellow that I'd gotten saved. And he questioned my salvation, and of course I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know a whole lot to say. And he told me this, I've never forgotten. He said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk up to that big man upstairs and tell him why I deserve to be there. I've been a good person. I've done this or do it. And I don't know if I realized it at the time. I realize it now that how foolish that statement is. Number one, referring to God as the man upstairs is blasphemous. It's irreverent. Number two, when you walk in to stand before God, you're going to be struck by lightning. You're not going to say anything. God's judgment's going to fall. There's no arguments. There's no discourse up there. So how is it that you and I are going to be able to stand before God? How is it that we now can make our requests known to Him that is there? It said in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, again, in the Old Testament, the high priest was the only one that got to enter in. He's the only one that got to approach God. All the others had to stand back and wait outside. It was all up to him to go in and have fellowship with God. But now by the blood of Christ, every one of us have been made priests unto God our Father. Every one of us has access to God. That again is the difference between Christianity and Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism follows that Old Testament pattern that you've got to go into the confessional and talk to the priest so that he can go to God for you because you can't go directly to God on your own. That's the Old Testament covenant, and even a twisting of it. That's not the New Testament under Christ. The Bible says we now have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. You and I can have access with God right now. You can pray anytime you want to. And God listens to you. And God hears you. And God promises to answer because of the blood of Christ. Are you getting these things down? All these things we have because of the blood of Christ? That makes it more valuable than your 401k. That makes it more valuable than the retirement fund or Medicare that I'm learning about. The precious blood of Christ. What did he say back in 1 Peter? More precious than silver or gold that perisheth. It enables men to enter into the presence of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 along this same line. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, talking about boldly, as it said in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 4, 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, God doesn't supply your needs until you know Him. God doesn't supply your needs until you know Him. The emerging church, whatever we want to call it today, is getting things backwards. They are presenting a God as a God that meets people's needs without them putting their faith and trust in Him. They're selling a false gospel. They call it in these modern technology, they call it felt needs. And churches are adapting their old ministry to meet the felt needs of people. It's a strange term. It came out in the book, The Purpose-Driven Church. Came out with this theme of felt needs. And they put everything backwards. They said, you need to minister to the felt needs and then hopefully you'll reach them for Christ. No, you try to reach them for Christ, then God meets the needs. The modern church has turned everything around backwards. That's why everything is restructured and redone, because they've got the whole program backwards. Once you get in under the blood of Christ, the Bible says, you have help in time of need. Without Christ, you don't have that help. So we are thankful for the blood of Christ because it enables man to enter into the presence of God. Number five. That means we're getting close, doesn't it? Revelation chapter 12. Did I say that book right? Purpose-Driven Church. I think I said life. I don't know which it is. Revelation 12, verse number 10. Why the blood of Christ is precious. It made peace for sinners. It brings people together into a new fellowship. It cleanses from sin. It enables man to enter into the presence of God. Number five, it overcomes Satan. The greatest weapon we have in our arsenal is the blood of Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, the devil, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Without going into a lot of study, Revelation chapter 12 is talking about a time yet future, a time where those on the earth after the rapture are heavily persecuted and pursued by the Antichrist and by the devil. And that the only way in that tumultuous time, and there's no words, no time to put the words to try to portray that picture of the tribulation period. It is just going to be awful. You think about the folks right now in Afghanistan. We see the pictures of them trying to get the airport and handing babies over a barbed wire fence to someone to get them at least to safety and protection, because they know what's coming in their country if America pulls out. They know what's going to happen. They know the blood that's going to be shed. That's the tribulation period, where the Antichrist is pursuing all these people and they're fleeing for their lives. And yet the Bible says in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What a powerful weapon to protect them against the accuser of the brethren. Your words are not going to make the devil flee. Your goodness is not going to drive him away. The only thing powerful enough is the blood of the Lamb. It overcomes Satan. We talk about pleading the blood. I think of the song that the Mark Rogers family sings. I plead the blood. I looked that up on YouTube and listened to that when I was writing my notes for this, just to help motivate me a little bit. I plead the blood. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us victory over sin. That gives us victory over Satan. That gives us victory over self. By the blood of the Lamb. Peter said, the precious blood of Christ. It's precious because it overcomes Satan. Then finally, number 6, go back to Revelation chapter 5. I like this one. Have I said that before? Revelation chapter 5. Looking at a different group of people from Revelation chapter 12. We're looking at the saints of God in heaven. This is immediately following, I believe, the catching up of the church in Revelation chapter 4. Them seated around the throne in chapter 5. And the Bible says in verse number 9 that they sung a new song, saying. Now that's puzzling, isn't it? They're going to sing a new song, and yet the Bible gives us the words of that song. Well, how is it going to be new if we got the words right there? I don't know how that works. Maybe the melody is going to be new. But it says they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10 we've referred to before. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, it's innumerable. Don't try to get a calculator out and run those numbers. He's just telling you it's beyond numbering. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We're singing a new song in heaven. And the song is about the blood. Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Why is the blood of Christ precious? Because it provides the theme of eternal singing. You could go through a hymn book right now and find many, many songs about the blood. There are many wonderful songs, spiritual songs written that aren't in the hymn book about the blood. And the blood is going to be the theme of our eternal song. It's nice to know we're not going to sing about the trials and the temptations, the disappointments and the heartaches. Those will be forgotten and gone. We're going to sing praise. We're going to sing, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to thy God, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The song of the saints through the ages. And it's hard to say through the ages because there's no time in heaven. But the song of the saints for all eternity is going to be a song about the blood. Because it's precious blood. The blood that was shed on Calvary, God's blood, shed for the remission of our sins, was precious. It's precious because it made peace for sinners. It's precious because it brings people together into a new fellowship. It's precious because it cleanses, not cleansed, cleanses from sin. I'm so thankful that when I do something wrong, say something wrong, think something wrong, have a bad spirit, have a bad attitude, that immediately I can talk to God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't feel that way, act that way, say that way, whatever it is. I'm thankful I got immediate access. It cleanses from sin. It enables men to enter the presence of God. It overcomes Satan. It provides the theme of eternal songs. This passage in Revelation chapter 5 tells us we're going to sing about the blood for all eternity. How embarrassing for those that have eliminated the blood from their song today and don't sing about it anymore. It'll be the theme of our eternal song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That's going to be our song. Peter said, For as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, received from your vain conversation, received from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Thank God for the precious blood. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.